That's Theo Epstein in both clips, and the first one being interviewed by Bill Murray. There's a clip going around of Murray being interviewed in the clubhouse while he's chugging one of, I'm sure, about 12 bottles of champagne he drank last night. And at the end of the interview, he takes a long chug, finishes off the bottle, and then to whoever's holding the camera interviewing him, he goes, "Hey, do you recycle? Could you recycle that for me? Thanks a lot." Bill Murray and a lot of Cubs fans having a glorious day. Not a lot of work being done in Chicago. The impossible has happened, something many of us thought we would never, ever, ever say. The Chicago Cubs are your world champions. Katie Christensen is in Orlando. Nate and Dave right here as we take the drive all the way till 9 o'clock. Later on today, we will give you an opportunity this hour, not just for UFC tickets, but also to win an Apple TV and qualify you for Home Theater Company 65-inch 4K television we're giving away on Monday. NFL on Fox has his lovely voice every single week. You hear him with Grant Napier all the time. One of the best guests in sports radio. Nice enough to join us this early. It's Charles Davis. Charles, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you three today?
We are basking, although we have no dog in the fight personally. Okay. As we're a bunch of Giants and A's fans and Kings and Niners and Raiders fans, but as a sports fan, this transcends sports, Charles, when you can say the Chicago Cubs are the champions of the world.
You know something? That is an excellent statement in my humble opinion. I am not even going to attempt to try and top it or match it. I saw one of the best tweets, and look, me and Twitter, let's just say we've had our differences over the years, okay?
Uh-huh.
But I saw one of the best tweets, one of my colleagues, Mike Hill, and I think it summed the whole thing up. He said, "I'm not rooting for either team, and my nerves are shot watching this game." I don't think there's any higher compliment. I really don't. Baseball reemerged in this series. Baseball reemerged in this playoffs. I think baseball was at an all-time high for me in my lifetime, that 94 season that ended in the strike. Remember?
Yep.
Records were going crazy. People were hitting at an incredible rate. People were pitching, not quite the Bob Gibson in the 60s, but you know what I'm talking about. And then we had the strike, and everything kind of went down the tubes, and then we brought it back, and that was the steroid era. So it's been really hard for people to grasp on again. You know, you play an all-star game that gives the World Series to the winner of the all-star game, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life, and I'd love to sit down and have someone explain exactly how that really makes sense. Especially when you have an all-star game where the starters don't play the whole time. But bottom line is, this whole playoffs and the World Series, as you said, it transcended everything else, and it was phenomenal.
Well, and Charles, when you look at Theo Epstein, who we've talked a lot about, we talked a lot about him over the course of the season. You look at what he's done in Boston. You look at coming to the Cubs and ending this streak. Do you think there's a general manager, a guy in charge of any team professionally at this time that – his career path isn't on a higher trajectory?
You know, I don't know that there is as we're sitting here right now. I mean, we're going to end up talking about Theo Epstein later on down the road in terms that you're going to talk about. Remember Branch Rickey? Now, Branch Rickey was known for transcending the game because of Jackie Robinson, but he also compiled some darn good teams. He was known as the Mahatma. Also put a lot of things into baseball that weren't necessarily wins and losses. If you look in my sport, football, think about what Bill Polian did in his career as a general manager, all right? The Buffalo Bills, the Indianapolis Colts, the Carolina Panthers. I mean, my goodness, building teams to that level. But Epstein did it with two teams that were saddled with curses that we talk about forever. You know, anytime you hear the words "no, no, Nanette," you immediately think of the Boston Red Sox and Harry Frazee and the curse. Anybody brings up a goat anywhere, even if we're talking about greatest of all time, you're immediately looking at it, looking in on the Cubs. And he killed two curses. Think about that. That's pretty phenomenal. Hard to beat that trajectory, as you mentioned.
Charles, you talk about, okay, Bill Polian against Theo Epstein, something like that. But when you look at the landscape of both leagues, salary cap in the NFL, no salary cap in baseball, which one do you think, I guess, would be more difficult?
I think with the salary cap, it is more difficult because you're constantly trying to keep a core of talented people together and then fill in around them. When there's no salary cap and you can go out and fill in because your checkbook's pretty good, you should be better. But here's the thing. Sports has taught us this, hasn't it? How many times did the Yankees open up their checkbook?
Yep.
The Dodgers, right? The Red Sox before they hit it right. You know, the Cubs before they hit it. I'm talking about big marketplaces have tried it that way.
The Knicks,
that nebulous term chemistry matters in every single sport, and it doesn't matter what your checkbook says if the guys don't get along. Remember the Red Sox at one point, what we call their clubhouse? 25 players, 25 taxi cabs, because they didn't get along so well. Well, they don't have that anymore. Obviously, we don't have it with the Cubs. So I would say, to me, it's harder in football, but that by no means diminishes what Theo Epstein has done, because these are two cities that expect to lose each and every time. You think the people in Chicago last night, when that game got tied up, didn't think, well, there we go. I guarantee the whole city was going up. Here it is. Boston had to overcome that as well when they did it against the Yankees, coming from three down and then winning the World Series.
Charles Davis joining us, NFL on Fox analyst. And now you've got the Indians on the other end. There will be no more the Warriors blew 3-1 lead jokes, at least not in Ohio.
Draymond Green made sure of that last night.
Yes, he did. 3-1 sucks is what he tweeted. You've got that. You have the Arizona Cardinals, the Sacramento Kings, and then the Detroit Lions. There's your longest droughts in sports history. And there's been an interesting sub-argument we've been having today, or debate, I should say, over. Yeah, now, I'm on your page, okay? I believe in curses. I believe in superstitions. I believe in all this stuff. Katie it absolutely does not. Same thing with Nate. But
Katie and Nate, we need to hang out with you guys more. You guys got to get us out of this, okay?
I'm telling you. I'm recovering, man. I mean, I'm a guy that never changed my socks doing anything when things were going well. So it's a long process.
Yes.
There, Charles.
You were that teammate, huh?
That was me, yeah.
Okay.
Charles, whether it's, I don't think any of us are advocating that there's magic wands and Harry Potter cloaks out there, but there is something about the stigma of losing and stigma of winning that seems to go beyond just X's and O's.
No, there's no doubt about it. I think we just touched on it a little while ago. Look, I grew up in the Northeast. Any of you three Northeasterners at all?
No.
No.
Okay. So I'm not going to give you a major history lesson here, but you ask anybody from the Northeast, especially if you get into the New England area, and it's very much so. There's a fatalistic approach to things for a lot of them, and there's a lot of expect the worst. And that's one reason Boston had a tough time getting over the hump for so long, because anytime anything got really difficult, crazy, everyone collectively would go, see, here we go. Never going to happen. Chicago's been living that forever. Remember, for the longest time, it was, well, they only play day baseball, so there's no way they can ever compete because they're too tired. Then they put in night baseball. Well, that didn't really help out either, right? Then the ball goes through Leon Durham's legs. And, there was always something that you could point to and go, see, it's just not right for us. So fighting through that, whether you believe in curses or not, there's also a thing called momentum. And momentum can be positive, and momentum can be negative. And for a lot of these cities, there's been a lot of negative momentum built around around the city, around the people that follow the teams, the whole deal. I mean, I even watched that movie Fever Pitch, right, with Jimmy Fallon.
Yep.
And he's like, it's never going to happen. This is never going to happen. That was the feeling, and that's what these cities have to battle. Cleveland, I think they've got enough talent that they can easily be back. Now, will this loss shackle them to where they're not the same next year? Will they run into injuries? We see it all the time, and look at the Super Bowl hangover of the losing team in football. I mean, did anyone expect Carolina to be 2-whatever right now? Not a chance.
Charles, let's really be honest here. Curses are excuses.
Yeah,
I believe in synergy. I believe in the kind of momentum that a fan base, that a community, that a city, that's synergy. I mean, and I also on the negative side, the media, the city, you can create good or bad synergy. Curses are excuses.
They are. And I'm not going to fight you on it at all, but they are powerful deals because you end up with groupthink. And that's where it runs. That's where you run into it. That's why when you get some of those players that get added to the mix, you get some dominant minds in the clubhouse who now can help shake things up. And I don't care what sport it is, that won't settle for, as you pointed out, that's an excuse. When they go, the moon was in the seventh house today and Jupiter aligned with Mars. He's supposed to rule the planets, but my biorhythms are off today, Skip. I can't go. When you have those clubhouses that won't settle for those things, that won't accept it, as you pointed out, that won't say, hey, that will stand up and say, that's an excuse and we're not having it, that's when you change things for the better. Theo Epstein is a change agent. He's going to bring in people that are not going to settle and have excuses for what goes on. And he's done it in two different cities. And I know I saw a lot of things last night about, well, I guess Boston made the right decision letting him go and keeping Larry Lucchino and everyone else. Well, you know, at the time, there's a whole lot of things that go on. Bottom line is, Theo, he found his fortune in another place, believed in what he was doing, and boy, oh boy, let's face it, in our lifetime, we've seen some amazing things in the sports world, because that T-shirt the Chicago fans were selling, please one before I die, was legit. Yeah. You're talking about 108 years worth. I mean, there are a whole lot of people that lived and died and loved the Cubs that never got a sniff of this thing. In our lifetime, we've seen Boston break through. We've seen the Cubs break through. Now who's it going to be on the NFL side? As you pointed out, the Arizona Cardinals have been since 47 because they were in Chicago back then. The Detroit Lions, 1957, when they were the scourge of the NFL. Can any of them break through? Doesn't look likely with Detroit this year, although they're playing better. Arizona was supposed to be a big year. They've got a ton of injuries right now. I don't know if they have enough to get it done.
Charles Davis of NFL on Fox joining us on KHTK. We're having him on to talk baseball, clearly. Charles, why are there no curses in football? And I mean, you got the Lions, you got the Cardinals. Like, this is not – why don't we hear about stuff like that with those franchises?
Well, I don't know exactly why. I think a lot of the curse stuff does have to do with lore. You know, the Harry Frazee thing about financing no-no-na-net, that became lore. I'm not sure it was actual fact, you know, selling off Babe Ruth for that exact reason. But the story, you know, what do they say? When the legend is better than the actual story, print the legend. well, being able to say that you sold off Babe Ruth to finance no-no-na-net, and that's the reason that you haven't won, that's a great story. And we're not going to let that one go. The Billy Goat in Chicago and, you know, burning down. Hey, come on. All right. So, yeah, that's what happens with it. With football, we don't have very many people who leave a franchise and put a hex on them and say, well, without me, you'll never win again. Although in Detroit, you talk to some Detroit people and they'll say, well, when we traded Bobby Lane to Pittsburgh, you know, we've never been the same since, because Bobby Lane gave us an identity and gave us some toughness. Bobby Lane was one of the all-time rousters. If you don't know who he is, Google him and check him out. Bobby Lane, if he were quarterbacking today, you know, quarterbacks go to the podium after a game and say, hey, you know, we lost today. It's my fault. I didn't call a good game. I didn't do this. You know, that's what we want from him. If a guy missed a block in a game, Bobby Lane would kick him in the behind and throw him off the field and tell the coach, get me someone in here who can block. Different type of cat.
See, Charles, I thought you were going to say the curse of Matt Millen. I was like, come on, it wasn't there for that long.
You know, I can't go there for a bunch of reasons. But number one, Matt's a friend of mine. And he's a colleague of mine, and there's no way I'm going there on that one. I hate that happened to him in his career, because the Matt Millen I know, that's a big-time football guy. It didn't work out in Detroit.
Let me tell you something. I want to expand on that, Charles, since you're being a class guy right there. I've had Matt Millen. We've had Matt Millen on this show quite a few times, and I got to tell you, Matt Millen is...
He called Jamarcus Russell. Remember that?
Dude, he is, you know, for all the challenges he had as a GM for the Lions, okay?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. I can sit and listen to him talk football
forever.
All day. Charles, I can sit and listen to him, and we have sat and listened.
Yes.
And to him talk about woodworking and what the hell he's currently building right now in his shop. I'm not joking. We used to ask him all
amazing.
The time. And I think the biggest paradox in my mind with Matt Millen is, and maybe this is where you get into luck and you get into karma, whatever it is, how can a guy that is an absolute football Einstein have had so much go against him when he was actually in the driver's seat?
That's one of the all-time great questions, and you posed it perfectly, because those of us who know Matt, and as you said, if you sat around and just sat there and said, okay, Matt, talk football, and you decided to transcribe it, you'd fill notebooks, right? I know nowadays now we do it on our laptops, or we would just record it. I'm that old school guy. Hey, who's got a pencil? You know, I'm writing down notes, and obviously I'm not keeping up as fast as everyone else. But you would just fill up notebooks with football, with understanding what's going on, understanding the game. Personally, I think what happened with Matt, and this is just my own observation, he was going through it, and he is such a good guy at times that he allowed too many people into the process.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you allow too many people into the process, you paralyze yourself. And look, he's owned it. He's taken, you know, he's taken full ownership of the whole deal. He's not crawfishing around. I don't want to make excuses for him because I think he'd punch me, and if that would happen, I'd be hurt really badly. But the bottom line is, looking at it from afar, if Matt ever had another shot at it, he would take firm control of that wheel, and he'd drive it himself, and I think things would be a whole lot better for him. And again, that's on him because he was the GM, and he had the opportunity to do so.
Sure.
But I think he tried to include too many people and value their opinions. And a lot of times with a lot of people, you don't do so well. Like, I will tell you this, Dave Caldwell, whether you think it's working out or not, the GM of the Jacksonville Jaguars, when he decided he liked Blake Bortles, he didn't tell anyone. I think he told one person he trusted in the organization, and they sprang it on draft night, and they drafted Bortles, and no one saw it coming. When Steve Spurrier decided to leave Florida, remember when he went to Washington
yep.
for the NFL? No one knew, right? He told one person that he trusted, and he decided to trust himself. Did either one of those work out great? Not so far in Jacksonville. It didn't work out in Washington, but trust yourself. Don't bring too many other people into the process. And bottom line, Steve didn't win a lot of games in Washington, but he made a whole lot of money.
Yep.
He did just fine.
Yeah, he did fine.
Well, and that's kind of, you know, my comeback to the Matt Millen criticism is always, I'm just amazed at the story he told us one time about how during that 2007 draft, they worked out Jamarcus Russell. They had the second pick right behind the Raiders. And he called Al Davis and said, you don't want anything to do with this kid. Don't bother. Yep. Don't do it. And I mean, the cynic could say, hey, maybe they wanted him. But I get the feeling that Matt knew what he was doing with that one.
Matt would not have called Mr. Davis. Okay.
Right.
And that's what he, and I guarantee you that's what he called him. Because remember, Matt played there, and his respect level for Mr. Davis was off the charts. A lot of us saw Al Davis at the end when it wasn't quite as lucid as what it was before. Go back, I tell everyone all the time, I say, go back and study Al Davis, study his whole career, see the things that he did. The man coached, the man was an administrator, the man was an owner, the man was a commissioner of a league, the man innovated. I mean, how many people know that the Raiders uniforms, do you know what they're based on?
The pirate ship.
Well, that's
jeez,
close.
Dave.
Oh, I was guessing.
That's close. It's Army.
Gotcha.
Army,
really?
Because back during the time when Al was coming up, Army was an absolute power in this nation, and they were known as the Black Knights of the Hudson, and they wear black and gold, and Al just made it silver, and just made it silver and black. And that's how he did it. The uniform was modeled off of that because he wanted to model something off of excellence. Back then, Army was winning national titles, a factor across the thing. Al was also a guy who was heavy in the military and respected that and studied all of those tactics and saw how they could apply to football. So that's where you would get all those things. So as you said about Matt, he wasn't calling him to tell him because he wanted Jamarcus Russell. He was calling and telling him because of his respect for Mr. Davis. And he had that one right. I think if he could do it over again with a few choices, he would change them. But obviously, we all run into that one. Let me tell you, I'd like to change a lot of things I've done in my life, but mine didn't impact the franchise, and no one looks at me that way. They may look at me in other ways.
Charles Davis joining us. You can hear him and see him NFL on Fox each and every week. And got to ask you before we let you go, Charles. We have Lincoln Kennedy on each and every week, and we've had sort of a running dialogue with Link because he is a Washington alum, and the quarterback there is Jake Browning from Folsom High right here in Sacramento. So we've kind of adopted that team and followed them. My goodness gracious, was I surprised when those playoff rankings came out, and they're sitting fifth behind A&M. They're on the outside looking in. Listen, if I ask you if this is temporary, like, you know who's going to win ball games, but do you agree with that ranking?
No, I don't agree with the ranking, but I won't tell you I was overly surprised either. Okay, a lot of things go into these initial rankings, and I'm not about to sit here and go conspiracy theory. I'm not about to go shooter from the grassy knoll. Okay, I think they spit out what they spit out at the time, but what I want everyone to remember, if you go back and watch these polls since we started doing it this way, there are no guarantees from week to week. You know, the regular poll, once you lock into a position, it's essentially, as long as you don't lose, your fluctuation is really one or two places, isn't
it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay? As long as you don't lose. Doesn't matter if you win by one against the worst team in the nation, you may drop one spot, two spots, right? But you're still going to stay around where you are. In this thing, you may be 4 1 week, and you could be out the next. You could be 2 1 week. You could be 4 the next. It works that way. It's not a guarantee and a lock. You don't believe me? Ask TCU and Baylor, who were both ahead of Ohio State in the first one on the last week of the season. Oh, and by the way, they all won. TCU won big. Everyone thought they were in. Uh-uh. They took Ohio State, and Ohio State won the national title. I think it's temporary, but there's also, if you're college football, it's probably the best thing that could have happened was that you had a controversy in the rankings during the time the World Series was dominating. The NFL talk, people are saying the game's not quite the same right now, so everybody's questioning that. And all of a sudden, you had a story in college football that jumped out there on an off day of the World Series. They couldn't ask for anything better. And it does self-correct. If Washington wins out and wins the Pac-12 title, they're going to have a hard time taking that second SEC team ahead of them, I believe. So I'm not sitting there worried about it. I'll guarantee you Chris Peterson's not worrying about it up at Washington. In fact, he's going to use it as fuel with his team. Win out. Win the Pac-12. Make your case that way. Now, if A&M only has one loss, here's the thing. They're not likely to play in the SEC title game because Alabama will come out of the West if they win out. See where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So A&M's going to have to wait their time. And by the way, in the bylaws of that committee, it does say conference championships get more weight. Conference champions get more weight. That would put Washington, to me, in line ahead of A&M if both of them went out, and let's say Alabama wins out and A&M doesn't play in an SEC title game.
You're the best, Charles. We appreciate it. We're way late for a break, but that always happens when we're talking to you. Next time, a little West Wing talk, maybe.
All right. So, hey, we'll do whatever you guys want to do. It's always fun. And thanks a lot, guys, for telling me that the curses are excuses. I'm actually going to write it down. I'm going to put it in my booth when I'm doing games now. And I may say that this weekend. Curses are excuses. Just out of the blue.
Okay. But Charles, let's just remember, you and I are on an island together. I didn't say that. I'm with you, bro.
I say it and I own it. Get over yourselves.
We're going to keep working on it and try and make ourselves better each and every day. You guys be good.
You take care, Charles. We'll take a break when we come back. Your phone calls 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. A little bit of an open segment here. We'll mix in Cubs. We'll mix in Kings and Magic as well. Your thoughts on either as we have yet to hear from you consistently. We haven't had a phone segment yet. 12th caller right now, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, UFC tickets, Golden One Center, a pair could be yours, Uriah Faber's farewell fight, and later on, an Apple TV giveaway as well. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Man.
That's the most emotional Joe Buck's been on a call since Randy Moss fake mooned the crowd in Green Bay.
Jeez.
Joe Buck. Guess what? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it on sports radio. I like Darren Revelle, and I like Joe Buck, and I don't care who hates it. I just don't care.
I'll jump on half of that train with you.
Now, let me amend the Revelle thing. I think in real life.
You like his content.
Yes, yes. That is, yeah, I got to amend that. Now, I don't know Darren Revelle, but by all accounts, he's a smarmy little turd.
Remember when he proposed to what's her name now? Justin Verlander, Kate Upton, on his show. It was Valentine's Day or something. Darren Revelle is married and has a kid.
And he did a fake proposal to
Kate Upton, and she was kind of like, no.
Yeah.
It was weird.
His content is great, Katie, but his Joe Buck gets so much crap. He really does.
I mean, he hates every team, right?
Yeah, every single one. You know what? I happen to think he's actually really good at his job. I do. And
me too.
Me and maybe his mom or something. I have no idea. Katie Christensen is in Orlando. Nate and I here.
Am I though?
I mean, yeah, we don't know. You might be at your house right now.
I don't really feel like I'm anywhere. It's just like I feel like I'm in some crazy Twilight Zone right now.
Yeah, she's not getting a lot of sleep, Nate.
Is she on the Greg Papa diet?
She's taking the painkillers.
I mean, if you're in Florida, just go for it.
Speaking of, watch the Silver and Black with KHDK this Sunday, 5:30 p.m. Buffalo Wild Wings, 1168 Galleria Boulevard in Roseville. Watch with your fellow Raider fans and KHDK, and at halftime, you could win a pair of tickets to go see Bon Jovi at the Golden One Center. For more info, visit KHDK.com. Questions for you at 339-1140. The Red Sox have won. The Cubs have won. So what's the equivalent now? And I'm not necessarily saying, well, it's got to be, you know, Arizona. Is it the Indians? Are the Indians the Cubs and Red Sox now? And I'm not just talking baseball in general.
I don't know that that's there anymore. Is it necessarily
done?
I mean, I know that the time hasn't been long enough, but I feel like if the Lions won a Super Bowl, that would be as about as apocalyptic as things could come. But I've also felt that way about the Saints.
What about the Clippers in basketball?
Eh. The Clippers have just been so unlikable.
I couldn't agree with you more. Let me push back on the Clippers, though. This is also a franchise that is associated with complete and total ineptitude forever. They're good right now, but we got to also remember the Donald Sterling years, and I'm not just talking about Donald Sterling the racist, but Donald Sterling in the 80s.
The other
and
racist.
90s.
He didn't want to spend money.
There's Donald Sterling the like explicit racist, and then there's Donald Sterling.
The low-key racist. Yeah. So I don't know. It's the Indians, the Clippers, and the Lions, and apologies to Kings fans. I just don't. I think they're right there.
I would put the Kings ahead of the Clippers, but I mean, you know, maybe you've got a market thing working out. But I got one.
But at least they I know this sucks, but at least the franchise has a championship, I guess.
Do you really count that?
No, and I
mean, aren't you a little embarrassed every time you see their uniforms
the
with the little gold thing?
I hate that anyways. It's stupid. But that's the NBA. JR, you're on KHTK. Hello, JR.
Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, it's JR.
Yeah, it's JR.
Hey, I'm so glad Joe Dirt is not going to be on the radio anymore, or TV anymore.
Yeah, me
you
too.
You got to be kidding me.
Not a fan.
But can Katie hear me?
Maybe.
I can.
Curses are real.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord.
Look at
Jesus.
Nate. Look at Nate. You can't see him, but imagine Nate. He is cursed with those good looks. They're not going away.
I'm trying, though, JR. I'm doing my best.
JR is... Well, one of the few.
I get my neck flap taken care of.
Yeah, well, hey, NorCalLaserLipo.com. Get in there today. Tell them Katie sent you.
I've been texting with my
flap anywhere. No, you weigh like all of 5 pounds.
Hey,
it's all the McDonald's.
Prove it.
What about the Bills? Somebody brought up on the text line.
That's a good one.
Buffalo Bills.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Probably the 49ers in my book.
Shut up. 49ers and their 5 rings. So. We were trying to figure out throughout the show today what replaces the Cubs now. I mean, maybe it's the Indians. Isn't it the Indians, though?
I don't know. I don't know that we need to fabricate something like that, though. I mean, can we really? Are we going to go into next year going, all right, it's Cleveland's year?
Katie?
Can I ask this for you guys?
Yes.
I mean, you're looking for a replacement for a team that spent over a century in just complete misery and incapable of figuring out how to be successful in any way, shape, or form. Do we need those teams in sports? Do we have to have the complete dumpster fires to be sports fans?
Yeah, I think so.
I do too.
I mean, look at what's going on in the NFL right now. I you know, again, so many factors contributing to declining interest and ratings, but as big a part of that as any to me is all of the parity and the fact that there really isn't a story like that in the NFL. And like, here we are at the midway point. You've always got a couple teams that stand out good, a couple teams that stand out bad, and a whole mess of teams that are swimming around 500. And it doesn't allow your franchises to have any sort of identity, even if that is as a lovable loser or an all-time pathetic piece. I don't think there's a lot of identity with NFL franchises right now.
I think it's like it's a second cousin, Katie, your question as to like, do we really need rivalries in sports? And when you look at it, again, these are the same people that say, well, curses don't exist or pressure doesn't exist or Theo Epstein, it doesn't matter if he went to. It's the same line of thinking, well, why do you need rivalries? Are they really going to try harder? They're professionals. Who cares? What purpose? You don't get 2 wins for a rivalry game. You get, well, of course you need rivalries. It is the Mrs. Dash of sports. It accentuates everything, okay? It's necessary. We'll take a break. When we get back, we'll finish up. Let's look ahead since Katie is in the fine state of Florida. She's going to go catch a Kings game tonight, as will you right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. What are we looking at here? Are we at pregame 3:30 tip at 4 again there, I think, as a matter of fact? Yeah, all right, there you go. So that'll all be here exclusively on KHTK, the 1-3 Magic host, the 2-3 Kings. Also, when we get back, we'll give away an Apple TV as well, qualify you for that 4K television from the home theater company. We'll break. It's a drive. Final segment next. Sports 1140 KHTK. Final segment of the drive. Dave, Katie, and Nate, I got a couple things for you guys here. By the way, you want to win an Apple TV? I'm going to make it hard for you here, a little bit harder. Ben Zobrist won the World Series MVP yesterday. It was his first season with the Chicago Cubs. The last player to win the World Series MVP in his first season with his new team was who? And I'm going to throw a couple hints out there because that's a tough question. Number one, it's happened in the last 25 years. Number two, A's fans should probably know the answer. And number 2.5, so should Sacramento fans. There you go. 1-800-920-1140. But you're on the right track. Keep going through the list.
Dusty Baker was MVP for the Angels.
Yes, he was, as a matter of fact. 107 seasons between World Series championships for the Cubs. In that time, 21 teams have won the World Series. That includes each of the other 15 teams in existence in 1908 and six that hadn't existed. As we said earlier, 30 championships have been won by Chicago's major sports teams since the last time the Cubs won the World Series. 6 months after the Cubs won the World Series in 1908, Harland Wolff began construction on the Titanic. In 1908, the U.S. was made up of 46 states. New Mexico, Arizona, Alaska, and Hawaii had not yet been admitted to the Union. And the electric traffic light had not been invented, nor had the zipper, the neon light, stainless steel. And you know what the greatest thing since sliced bread is? Well, sliced bread hadn't been invented. Yeah, wow. Exactly. Finally, and this is all courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info, thanks to them, Halley's Comet, which passes by Earth every 75 years, had passed us twice since the Chicago Cubs last won the World Series.
Jeez.
Nate and Katie, the Cubs' 101 losses that they had in Theo Epstein's first season is interesting, considering this is the third time a team went from 100 losses to a World Series within just five seasons. And that debate is raging quite a bit there on the airwaves and on the Twitters. Is Theo Epstein the greatest GM of all time? And, again, I forgot to do it in the last break, Nate. I will after the show, as promised. I will go back to my tweets from last night and some from today. And I will retweet just five of the random 200 people that have asked if Theo Epstein knows anything about basketball and would he mind coming to Sacramento.
How many rings does he have?
He has two. Okay. Wait, no. No, didn't he get two with
the
Red Sox?
That's what I was trying to figure
out. I think he has at least three. Congratulations, by the way, to Ray Molina. You've won an Apple TV, and you've qualified to win a 65-inch 4K TV, all courtesy of the Home Theater Company. Grand prize winner selected this Monday right here on The Drive. Home Theater Company's prices equal or better than chain stores. So visit hometheatercompany.com for all your home theater needs. Katie Christensen in Orlando. She will be on the call with Grant and Jerry tonight.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Okay. Anybody else at all excite? What?
Well, just you said okay, funny. That's all, Nate. That was Nate, not me. Make fun of him.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's why I was asking Nate what.
What?
I mean,
ask your question.
I'm curious. You guys can sit there and talk about the Cubs and everything. I'm wondering if anyone else is excited to watch the game tonight between the Thunder and the Warriors. Anyone else interested in that game at all?
No, I'll watch it. I mean, I'm excited. Here's the thing. It's one of those false media buildups.
Right, I'm going to forget about this game like tomorrow.
Do you think it's
a false media buildup?
Here's why. Because you've got these storylines going on and the drama and the All My Children soap opera stuff. I get it. And it's going to be a good NBA game, you hope. Thunder, Warriors, rematch of last year. I totally get that. And I want to see how Durant performs against his team. But other than that, I mean, really, it's not like they're going to wrestle at center court, and it's not in Oklahoma City. Now, when it's in Oklahoma City, I'll care a little bit more because of the crowd. So I don't know. I mean, it's fine, but I think this is just one of those we need ratings, so let's put in all the drama. But, again, they're not wrestling. They're not wrestling.
Oh, you act like the TV side is putting in the drama. This has been written about all summer long.
No, I totally get it.
And these two guys that were like super close, they're not talking.
No, Kevin Durant came out yesterday and said that's
home. I think there's some drama.
All right, who wins tonight? Nate, Magic, Kings.
Kings.
You got a score? Do you care? No, you don't have to.
92-88.
Wow, there's some defense. Yeah. Katie, who wins tonight?
I don't know. I think one of the teams will win. It's probably whoever scores the most points.
I'm opting out of this.
That is an absolute shot. Actually, she probably should.
Need to opt out of it because I'm covering the game.
Doesn't that only count if you're on the national call? I think so. It's not for a local call.
There's no expectation of you to be objective,
no.
Katie.
I'm going to go with Magic tonight, 101-96.
See, look at Dave.
Yeah, Magic win tonight. All right, that's it for Katie Christensen in Orlando. Nate Goodyear, right across from me, sweating profusely. Matt George and Kevin Sherritt behind the glass. I'm Carmichael Dave. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Sports 1140 KHTK.